Hello, Eden Chapel. This is Brian here. I've been given the chance to spend some time with you guys in God's Word, and 2 Kings 1 through 3 is what we're covering today. And as we enter into chapter 1 here in 2 Kings, I just want to iterate that Elijah has come back on the scene. And as we look here in chapter 1, we see basically the first kings with the death of Ahab here. We enter 2 Kings with Ahab's son, Ahaziah, and I'm going to mess that up tons of times, so just be aware of that. We start the chapter off with Ahaziah falling through a lattice on the roof, not understanding that or never realize why is he on a roof, why is he on a lattice. Obviously, when he falls through, he gets severely hurt. Like his father Ahab, Ahaziah is destined to meet Elijah. In his 2 years of reign already, number one, he's been severely hurt to the point of death, but also he's about to meet a man of God. We also see here that Ahaziah sends his men to inquire Beelzebub to see if he can recover. He doesn't go to God. He does not try to find the man of God. So, he's desperate here, but he sends for his men to go to ask about Beelzebub. The angel of the Lord told Elijah, "Rise up, go meet the messenger of the king of Samaria to say to them, it is because there is no God in Israel that you were going to inquire of Beelzebub, the king of Ekron. Now therefore, says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed, you shall die." That's pretty direct, I would say. I mean, he's pretty much telling him, hey bud, I mean, you've been king for 2 years, you're going to die. His messengers returned and told them all that they had seen, because Elijah at that point pretty much was pretty poignant what's going to happen. Ahaziah knew exactly who this man was. He said he wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather about his waist. And he pretty much pointed and I said, "That's Elijah." He knew exactly who he was. Ahaziah requested that Elijah meet, but Elijah really didn't want to, nor he was concerned. If he does meet with him, he probably will die, but God has him in everything in control. He's going to protect him, but Ahaziah requested Elijah to meet. That's going to be a tough order when a man of God does not want to meet with you, because he was a sinful man. He did not follow the steps of the Lord. He was following the steps of Ahab, his dad, and basically just worshipped Baal and all the other awful things. So Ahaziah said, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to send 50 men up there. That'll surely get his attention. We'll bring him back." But the first 50 men went up and were decimated. The odds would seem good for 50 soldiers to be able to bring back one man, but the Lord was with Elijah that day and basically just set fire down and just consumed them up. We don't know, but it would be interesting to find out if Ahaziah was there when Elijah had asked the Lord to bring down fire from heaven to consume the water when his dad Ahab was around, and all the sacrifices in 1 Kings chapter 18. I wonder if he was around. He should have known better at that point to send only 50 men. I don't think a whole legion of men would do any good, but he would think he would have learned his lesson and understood the power of the man of God. A third set of men were sent, and they came with their captain. Understanding what happened to the first 100, he humbled himself, he bowed down, fell on his knees before Elijah, then entreated him, "O man of God, please, please let my life be precious in your sight and these 50 servants of yours." Then the angel Lord said, "Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him." So Elijah rose and went down with him to take him to the king and said to him, "Again, thus says the Lord, because you sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, not me, Beelzebub. Basically, it is because there is no God in Israel to inquire of the Lord. Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed in which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." So a second time he says, "You're going to die, bud. This is what's going to happen because you did not inquire of me. You're going to die. As we enter into chapter 2, in the second Kings, in second Kings chapter 2, we see here Elijah being introduced, that he will be taken up in a whirlwind. Now, we're also introduced to Elisha. Elisha never leaves Elijah's side. I mean, he's stuck to the guy, and he walks with him. Obviously, wherever he goes, wherever Elijah goes, Elisha is going to be right there with him. Three times here, we see Elijah telling Elisha to stay there. He said, "Man, stay over here at this place. Stay over here." He's like, "Nope, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be right with you wherever we go." But he would never listen to, never listen. Elisha wouldn't. He would always be with Elijah. Everyone knew that something was amazing about to happen, including 50 men, what they called of the signs of the prophets, also went. So these guys knew something was about to happen. They just stood at some distance away. They knew something was, amazing about to go down. But from them, as they were standing by the Jordan, one amazing miracle happened. As Elijah and Elisha stood there, Elijah took out, I believe, his robe, and he touched the water, and basically a water parted, which is amazing in one sense, but parted enough that they were able to walk across the water on dry ground. This was not the end of it. So Elisha tagged along even more and just stayed right there with him and every place they went. At that point, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And he said, "I would like a double portion of your spirit." I'm going to read verses chapter 2, 11, and 12. As we read here, it says, "And as they still went on and talked," so basically it was conversing, "talked, behold, chariots of fire, horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen,' and he saw him no more." So basically, he's gone. You would think that the 50 men would have saw that, or someone else would have saw this, but basically, they are gone. Elijah is taken off up into the whirlwind, and so he is gone at that point. At that point, as he is actually taken up into the whirlwind, Elisha's standing there, of course, can't imagine what he's doing at that point. But Elisha tore his clothes and put on the cloak of Elijah. He also then took the cloak of Elijah and parted the sea again and went back on the other side, obviously on dry ground. Makes a whole lot of sense there. At that time, when Elisha was headed back to the Sea of Jericho, people noticed that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. For some reason, the Spirit of the Lord was just intensely on him, for whatever reason. They noticed that he was by himself and wanted to find Elijah. They're like, "Where's Elijah?" I'm sure they were asking because Elisha and him were always together, is what it seemed like to me. And Elisha instructed them, said, "Do not go look for him. He's gone. He's not around anymore. He's taken up on a whirlwind." They did not believe him. They would not listen to him. But he said, okay, after a while, he's so frustrated. He said, "Okay, go ahead. Go try to find him. Go see for yourself if you can find him." They inquired so much that he got so frustrated. So they went out for 3 days and tried to find Elisha. They came back, realized, you know what? He's no here, no longer to be here. And he is gone. So they finally realized that. They also complained to Elisha that the water in this city was bad and they had lots of miscarriages, health issues. The city was beautiful, the Bible talks about, and it's an amazing place, but the water was terrible. He asked them to bring him a bowl of salt and water. Then he went to the spring and threw the salt in it. Says, "Thus the Lord, I have healed this water. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it." So the water was healed to this day. Now, we come to a passage that we're all pretty familiar with. And this passage is in chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Why is this a passage so memorable? I guess as a little kid, you think about, making fun of people, and it's not a right thing to do. But as we see here, this passage is a point where Elisha is basically, walking somewhere, and makes you kind of laugh because these boys made fun of Elisha. He was bald. We don't have anybody like that in our church. I won't throw any names out there, but anyways, but they had no idea who they were dealing with or mocking. Telling him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. There came a point where Elisha just got so frustrated. He was so over the top frustrated. He could not handle it no longer. And he cursed them. And these two bears, they call them she bears, came out of the woods. I don't know what the difference, I guess bears come out of the woods and tore them to pieces. So they were no longer to be had. These kids were gone. So that ends that part there in chapter three. Now we enter, I'm sorry, chapter two. So now we end in chapter three. We start chapter three here. And as we read chapter three, we come to a point where Joram took the throne of Israel. He's the son of Ahab. The Bible talks about him not being as bad as his father was, but still he does not follow in the steps of his Lord. There was a revolt in Moab, Edom, and Libnah. I'm going to read a little part here. It kind of explains this a little bit. When King Ahab of Israel died, King Mesha of Moab seized the opportunity to throw off the yoke of tribute imposed on his people by David. Israel, Judah, and Edom joined forces to attack Moab, but their efforts failed to resubdue the nation. As we come here in this part, the kings of Israel, Judah joined their forces obviously together. They did the right thing here and met with Elisha to inquire if they should go ahead and enter into the battle, which obviously, inquiring of the Lord is so important here. And obviously, they did the right thing, inquiring of the Lord. Elisha really wasn't having it, though. He didn't really want them to come to him for whatever reason and bring this. But you know what? Elisha did the right thing. He gave them wisdom. He met with them. And Elisha really did not want to meet with them here, but the Lord impressed on them to do so. When the kings of Israel joined forces together and stood across from the Moabites, at this point, Elisha, I want to step back. Elisha said, yes, go ahead, and they joined forces together and stood across from the Moabites. They looked down and saw a pool of blood. So the Moabites stood on this hill, looked down, and they're like, you know what? They must have had a battle amongst themselves or something. Something must have happened here. And they just went ahead and do it full force, the Moabites did, towards the Israel. And as they went towards Israel, but they were wrong. As they made their way towards Israel, they were struck with a huge blow. Israel and the other kings made their way towards Moab. Moab took 700 swordsmen to break through, but there was no luck against the wrath of God. Victory came that day because doing the right thing, inquiring of the Lord, and they did the right thing. And it's just been a wonderful time spending some time in the Word and bringing this to you guys in 2 Kings 1 through 3. Thank you for the opportunity. Let's pray here and thank the Lord for this time. And we just thank you, Father, for Lord, your Word and how it is so true. Lord, your word is so good, and the ways we can read and look into it, Lord, I just pray for guidance and understanding that as we look into your word further here in 2 Kings to understand who you are better, Lord. We love you and thank you. God bless you, family, and have a wonderful day.